and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research, and all of our YouTube listeners, welcome. Glad we're still on there. We're all kind of surprised, but we're there, so we're good. So we're
live
great.
On YouTube. I'll log in here in a minute with you guys, and welcome. Hope you guys had a great July 4th, Independence Day weekend.
You know, I did notice, though, the fireworks were down on the lake this year.
Well, a lot of counties in Florida banned fireworks.
Were you sent off fireworks on the 4th?
I might have, a lot.
I thought I heard something popping.
Allegedly.
but they weren't banned in Polk County.
No, they weren't banned, but a lot of counties did because of the drought, because it's so dry.
We don't have a drought
right
now.
Dude, it rained all day Saturday. Oh, I was like, that's what I told him. I said, don't worry about fires. I said, the grass is soaking. You step in it barefoot and the water and mud seeps between your toes. I said, nothing's catching
right
fire.
Right outside of the mosquito larvae. It's great. Oh, yeah, another woman got her arms torn off and killed by an alligator last week.
That's a horrible story, but that's a realistic story. And by the way, guys, I've extended this, and I got to tell you this, and I ask you as a favor of mine. I try so hard to keep everybody happy, the Health Masters family. We do a lot for you guys. This show's live every single day for the most part, unless we have like a rerun if we're out of town. But we run shows for you guys. We constantly am trying to make sure I can give you guys specials and 3-packs and 6-packs for all of our customers that want to stack up on inventory. I've extended the sale, the July 4th sale, for one more day for the sole purpose of telling you guys and explaining to you once again, as I put on everything, that the items that we do discounts on, when we do big discounts or 10% off like this over orders $250, it is always excluding massive 6-pack and 3-pack kits. There's a very slim margin with a lot of these products because the raws are so expensive, and a lot of times customers want a big discount when they buy a bunch of product. And I get that. I try to basically help you guys out with that the best I can. So we do things like 3-packs. We do things like 6-packs and allow everybody to be able to stock up on inventory. But please do me a favor. Those are never on sale for coupons to be stacked. I've said that all the time. I say it on there.
But we have new listeners.
We have new listeners, and we had a customer this morning, bought a 6-pack over the weekend of collagen, got free shipping, great deal already, insane deal on those patented peptides, but it was unbelievably mad and yelling at our staff because the 10% didn't apply to the already like 15% discount he was getting on the 3-pack and the free shipping. Cut my staff some slack, guys. They're here to help you guys, not fight with you guys. I can only go so low because, quite frankly, if I do a coupon code on top of a 6-pack on top of free shipping, I am physically losing money.
Well, let's talk to them. We do it. We have a 30% margin.
That's about it on an order. It's about 30%. It's about it. I can pay the staff out of that.
Yeah. Well, after that, we got to pay everybody else out of what's left.
Yeah.
And so we have about a 30% margin on these products. When we cut it 15% and cut it another 10% and give you 10% free shipping, we're actually losing money. We're paying you to take the product. I mean, that's okay, but it's not a sustainable model. It's just not sustainable. We won't be here next week. You're like, where'd they go?
Well, you guys got your coupon on top of your 6-pack, but we're shutting the doors down now, so enjoy.
Well, no, and so thank you for your support.
I
hope you had a great weekend. Yesterday we had a great church service at the Lutheran church.
Did you?
We didn't have communion yesterday, which always bothers me. I don't like that, because when they have a longer service for the 4th, and they combined all 3 services into 1 service yesterday morning, but we lost communion. I'd rather have the communion and make the service a little bit shorter. I'm real funny about that. You know how I'm about, you know, communion and God and Christ and the rest of that. I love all that stuff. And so, but I hope you had a great time in church yesterday. I hope you had a great 4th. I mean, it's wonderful.
Got all their fingers too, fireworks.
Oh, I hope you did. Yeah. But by the way, let's talk about stress this morning. You want to do that? Instead of alligators killing people.
Yeah, that's it's
what
Monday.
A morbid story, man.
Well, I mean, I can find you 1,000 articles on any search engine about alligator attacks in Florida. I've told you guys enough to stay. If you touch it, it's wet. Touch it, Florida. If it's wet, there's a gator in it.
Well,
put it that way. If it's a body of water, it's got a gator.
We have people coming in from out of town, and we have friends coming over, and they want to go down to the lake at night, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
You can do that.
And it's feeding time.
Stay on the dock.
No, it's feeding time. That's what the gators like to go out at night and eat. And I always tell them it's feeding time. I said, I wouldn't do that, especially if they have a dog. They would take a dog out of the dock. You know, that's like throwing catnip on a cat. The gators go insane over dogs out here. They love to run out of the water and grab them. It's like a snack. And so, be careful if you're down here. Especially, I've seen them climb on docks. I've seen them climb fences. I mean, these things are relentless. When they're an apex predator. When they focus on something to eat it, they're not playing the game. They're trying to eat it. and they'll do whatever they have to. If they have the ability, the only problem they get, you get the really, really big ones, they have a hard time climbing on a dock because they weigh so much. They are heavy, man.
7,900 pounds.
Yeah, well, they get up to 1,000. Yeah. So the big boys. And that's a lot of weight to carry those little stubby legs. That's why they can run real fast for a real short distance because of the weight. So you got to be real careful with them. But by the way,
stress. Okay, yeah, let's get into
six
stress.
Six signs you're in the chronic stress danger zone without even realizing it. You know, eyes start twitching, metallic taste in your mouth, persistent fatigue are just a few of the warning signals to pay attention to. And it has something interesting here because, you know, we used to say that stress can be positive or negative. Okay? Because, I mean, if you got to do a seminar and you're all excited, you know, you get kind of, it'll cause you a little stress because now I got to speak in front of 45,000 people. That's why I was always careful whenever I'd have a big group of people to speak in front of. I would just confess when I was praying, thank you, Lord, that I'll be the best speaker here today. Thank you that I'm going to be totally relaxed today. Thank you that I'm going to just absolutely love doing what I'm fixing to do here, speaking in front of all these people today. And what that does, it calms you down. Because if you get out there and say, oh, I'm so nervous, I'm so scared, that's gonna resonate to the audience. It's going to be awful. Same thing with the pilot. You don't want a nervous, scared pilot. I'm about to take off. I'm scared. I would be saying, well, I'm about to get off the plane. Let me off. You're nuts. Okay? So you got to realize you got to deal with stress. By worrying can add a single moment to their life, it says. But what's interesting is we never knew what stress was called that was from a positive standpoint. And then now they've named it. It's called eustress. E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. Eustress. Is a positive cognitive response to a short-term stress. This can motivate us and manage challenges and improve performance. It can even be described as thrilling. The fizzy in the stomach, that means you deliver a sharper presentation, spurs you on something like adrenaline-inducing, like attempting a black run. I have no idea what a black run is. What is a black run, Austin?
No idea.
Why do they say stuff like that? Nobody knows what that means. When the chronic stress, the more dangerous sort, invades your well-being, instead of being fulfilled, you become overwhelmed and health repercussions start to pick up. Now, what they're talking about is the fight or flight syndrome. Okay, you're in the backyard. Neighbor has an attack dog. It's a Doberman. I've been here, done this. This is a true story with me. All of a sudden, the dog decides he's going to kill you. You think, this really happened? Yeah, it really did. About 30 years ago. So you walk out there with a gun. And you see the dog's charging you. Now, you got two choices. You can fight or flight. You can run or flee. The problem is you can't get back into the screen room on time. Dog's moving too fast. He's running at 35 miles an hour, full speed. Teeth are hanging out. You can't get turned around back in the screen room without getting hit from the back of the neck with his teeth. Okay? That's where this is going. So now you got a choice. You can either fight or flight. You can keep the gun on him. Hopefully you hit him. Or you're going to be dead. That's what they're talking about here. And so you get this immediate adrenaline dump. And you get super clear. And all of a sudden, you got the gun on the dog. And you think, well, this is a terrible analogy. Well, this is not a metaphor. It's happened to me. And all of a sudden, everything gets crystal sharp. And everything gets real slow. It's weird how it does that. Kind of like in the movies. It goes into slow-mo. And you see the dog running. You got the gun on him. You got the round lined up. You double tap him. You hit him twice. You're done with it. That dog goes to puppy heaven. You don't get killed. Everybody's happy except for the neighbor whose dog got out. And you think to yourself, okay, well, now you got this adrenaline dump.
I want to clarify something real quick for all new listeners. This was a certified trained attack Doberman that was in a residential neighborhood. This should have been in nowhere other than military training or law enforcement usage, period. This dog was never supposed to be used in civilian areas, period, with families. Let me clarify that.
And that dog kept getting out and biting people.
Two different people.
Two different people got bit. I was going to be.
How on God's green earth the dog was not already put down by the sheriff's department, because they have a zero bite policy now in Polk County, meaning if a dog is put on record of having bit somebody with law enforcement, as far as even a civilian, if he bites somebody, it's automatically one and done.
He had put a painter, Wendell, the guy painter's name was Wendell. He's gone now. He's heaven, I hope. His son gave him 250 stitches.
Yeah.
I mean, he ripped him open.
I love dogs. I have a dog. I do not advocate animal violence. However, there's a situation when you have to pick when you're going to defend yourself in a situation.
That's right.
This isn't dad bragging about shooting a dog.
There's
a horrific situation that I witnessed as well. And there was no other option because he was going to come after me first.
That's right.
I was playing baseball.
That's right. In fact, first of all, it says the sympathetic nervous system, a network of nerves that help the body activate its fight or flight response. That's why I brought that to you right now. It's activated. This is an increase in heart rate, blood pressure. Blood rushes to the muscles. Pupils dilate. Adrenaline is stimulated, and the immune system is activated. Secondly, the adrenal cortex releases cortisol. That's that stress hormone. This is often called the stress hormone, as it helps us cope with difficult situations by increasing blood sugar for more energy and focus or concentration. That's why you get real, everything gets in slow motion. all is positive until chronic stress, like driving in a car all the time, people screaming, yelling, cussing at you, trying to cut you off. Same response happens to you over and over and over again. Long-term elevated cortisol in the body starts to react in negative ways. That's when problems occur. That's when obviously you start having eye twitching. You start having all kinds of issues. You start having stomach problems. You start having all kinds of horrible things in your thing. Persistent metallic taste in your mouth. The fix, you got to have, you have acid reflux and exhaustion that you stay tired all the time. And this goes on and on. Adult acne starts happening to you. And your temporary memory lapses. I'm going through this very quickly. I'll let you read all this online. Unexplained frequently needing to use the bathroom and urinate all the time. When you get into a situation,
kidneys are in hyper mode.
Everything's in hyper mode.
Yeah.
See, the problem is when you do this and it doesn't stop.
That's exactly right.
Your adrenals get completely exhausted. That's what our adrenal support is for. This is why we have the cortisol buster. This is why we tell you these purple sticks instead of coffee, because coffee also elevates cortisol. I had a friend of mine copy me this week. He's got his elevated blood pressure. He's under chronic stress. I sent him this link. Sent him the article. In addition to that, he's still drinking coffee. Coffee elevates cortisol. It's a stress hormone. It's gonna push your blood pressure up. It always does.
Always does.
And I told him, he said, well, I'm doing this and this and this. What else can I do? I said, you stop drinking the coffee, number one. And number two, you start doing more trampoline. Number three, you try to eliminate some of the stress. Well, I go all the time. I'm always gone. I said, well, maybe you need to change that schedule a little bit. I mean, he's always on an airplane flying somewhere. I mean, literally, he works for a local university, and he literally is gone 3 weeks out of the month.
And this is a very simplistic kit we put together a little ways back. This is the ultimate stress control. The reason I'm plugging this is because it's got the vitamin C with antioxidants, which is obviously, you guys know, one of the best products we have as far as for maintaining immune system. The adrenal support, which actually supports the adrenals, doesn't tap them. And cortisol buster that's got ashwagandha and multiple other ingredients that helps maintain healthy cortisol. If you want to go a little bit more advanced on it, we also have the extreme stress relief. This one doesn't have vitamin C, but it's got the adrenal and cortisol, and it's got additional ashwagandha, and it's got 5-HTP. So there's numerous substances, botanicals, nutrients that you can take on a regular basis to help mitigate it, to get your cortisol back down before you have another spike. Because exactly what he just said, one of the biggest issues with cortisol is continual high elevated cortisol for extended periods of time. The body needs about at least 1 to 2 days of downtime to get cortisol levels back at a low baseline to be able to be managed properly.
But you do need cortisol because it's what gets you up in the morning, makes you want to eat breakfast.
Exactly. But if you constantly have cortisol spike in the morning, cortisol all day, cortisol late at night, you sleep a couple hours, then cortisol back up again, you get this continual elevated cortisol level, and it can start causing weight loss, can start causing weight gain, can start causing mental fatigue, a lot of problems on it. So learn how to manage it properly. And again, like I said, the supplements can help you handle that a little bit better. When you have constant chaos going on, you're super busy and you're up till 11 o'clock doing podcasts, you're back on the show in the morning and then dealing with stuff all day. So I've learned how to manage this properly and take a large amount of high quality supplements to help manage it. So if you've got questions on that, give us a call. And again, as I said earlier, this is a kit we put on sale. The one over here is another kit we have. Give me camera 4. Stress management, 12% off. If you add this to your cart today, the July 4th coupon is not going to apply to anything that's got a discounted sale on it.
You're saying it again.
I'm saying it again, and I'm clarifying it. So this one's a 12% off. The 22 would be a 10 if you added it, along with free shipping if you did two of these. And again, there's no ability to actually maintain the company. We're already trying to keep this show afloat, I'll be honest with you. This show has gotten insanely expensive with all the stuff we're doing every single day on all these different platforms. Y'all love it. Y'all want it. Y'all keep asking for more, and I'm trying to give you guys that. But at some point in time, we also have to maintain overall overhead as well. So,
good news.
Yeah.
I got good news. Trump has pardoned 9 people now who have changed and modified their diesel trucks.
I saw that.
They were in prison.
This
they were locked
actually,
up.
This was a huge win for him. I will say this right now. He does a lot of stuff I haven't cared for. This was huge. These are guys that have been convicted felons now because they sold DPF tuning parts.
And they were diesel mechanics.
Uh-huh. Rudy's Performance was one of them. They were a big company, great company. I'd worked with them before with marketing. They ended up getting shut down. The owner got fined millions of dollars, and they charged him with felonies and basically had to do house arrest and I think probation. Insanity, because he was selling guys diesel particulate filter modifying parts to fix their trucks. Because here's the problem. Corey at PPI, I know him personally. He's a huge fighter in this field. The problem is, he said, it's long-term sustainable. You know, Dad said something earlier. He goes, it's not long-term sustainable, right? So the EPA, when they did this with the DPF, they made it unsustainable for the average person, the average working individual, to be able to maintain a reliable vehicle to work in. Because on these vehicles out, they've made them so restrictive with the diesel parts, which, understand, diesel engines were not designed to have a 3-foot-long filter.
The fuel rail pressures are off the charts.
The chart is insane when you watch actual diagnostics on these. The fuel rail's into the roof. So everything's operating at a level of pressure that is unsustainable long-term. So these diesel trucks are having more and more and more long-term problems. Just the DPF system alone, when they made it a felony to modify it, when it went out on average right after the warranty at about 40,000 miles, it would cost on average about $10,000 at the dealer to replace the entire fuel emission systems, which is insane. Insane.
How do you cash flow that if you're working, man?
Well, especially like I know like a lot of guys I do to transports. So they'll have like diesel dually F-350s and they're doing car haulers back and forth to California, back and forth to Texas. Well, you're racking them between 100 and 150,000 miles a year on those trucks. A year. Well, if you're burning through DPFs every 40, 50,000 miles, and you got to come up with another $10,000 on top of your fuel, on top of your normal maintenance, and then they don't talk about the fuel systems and the turbo systems that go out about 100,000 miles. The vehicle isn't sustainable. So I'm glad he did this.
Well, here's what Trump said. Yeah. Here's what Trump said. And I'll give you kudos, Trump, on this one.
This was a big deal.
He goes, quote, "It is my great honor to have just signed pardons for six people who were persecuted by the Biden administration and were in or being sent to prison for fixing their trucks."
Yep.
Trump wrote on the social media network. You think about it for a second. My truck's bad. It needs to be fixed. It won't run. I can't work. I'm going to fix it the best I can with what I can afford. You're going to prison. You're going to prison right now. We're going to charge you for violating the Clean Air Act. And we're putting you in prison. And we're going to put you out of business. And we're going to do all this stuff to you because we can.
And you're a felon, by the way. You're now a convicted felon the rest of your life because you modified your trucks to keep working. Because remember, once a lot of these guys allegedly modified their trucks properly and let the diesel engines run, these diesel engines go forever.
Mm.
I mean, they're
a million mile
engines if they're done right. And the fuel mileage doubles. Personally seen it one time years and years ago. So a friend of mine deleted one before it was a felony, before it was a big deal, right when they came out. He was averaging, at some point when he would go to regen, 6 miles a gallon. 6 miles a gallon. All of a sudden, he takes the DPF system off, makes it a straight pipe again, does a really, really clean emission tune on it so it runs really clean. It's all basically a green tune is what they called it. It would average anywhere from, it could get 26 to 27 miles per gallon on the highway. No soot, virtually no emissions, run about 4 or 5 times cleaner than it did with the DPF.
And run a million miles.
Versus getting 6 miles a gallon in regen every couple hundred miles.
And never forget, the military can order them without the DPF because it has to be reliable.
You can't have guys that are doing troop transports out to combat zones go, "Oh, guys, guess what? We're out of DEF fluid.
We're going into regen.
We're out of DEF." What? We're in Afghanistan. DEF doesn't even exist out here.
Yeah, I know.
We're all shut down. All the MRAPs are shut down.
We're 80 miles from nowhere.
Yeah, we're dead in the water. We have a full transport that's got to come out here and fill some DP. You can't do that. It's an unsustainable model. Not to mention it's stupid.
Yeah, he goes, let me read this again because I want to clarify it. In a list provided Friday evening by the White House, Trump pardoned 11 people, including 9 who had faced violations of the Clean Air Act by disabling emissions monitoring systems on vehicles or selling devices that enabled emission systems to be bypassed. The pardons come after Trump on Monday signed a memo telling the Environmental Protection Agency that Americans can fix their own vehicles if they see fit.
Yep.
I'm glad he did that. As he signed the memo, Trump referenced a diesel mechanic he pardoned last year who disabled emissions monitoring systems. The memo also addressed aftermarket auto parts, which is what you're talking about, Austin, and would supersede the ability of the California Air Resources Board to evaluate the parts that affect vehicle emissions. The White House, in releasing the list of those pardons, described Trump having relieved consumers from these regulatory burdens. But beyond the emissions-related pardons, Trump on Friday also issued a pardon for Adam Kiden, a famous business partner of Abramoff. I'm not going to say anything about this at all because sometimes I don't believe he should have done some of this stuff. But he also, on Friday, he pardoned a ranch owner, citing an upstanding record, post-conviction praising him for allowing U.S. military and NATO troops to train on his land free of charge. I'm going to post this so you guys can read it. But the reality is, kudos, Trump. I like this, that he did this. And again, this is a nightmare thing that Joe Biden put into play. Of course, it wasn't Joe Biden. It was the guys who wore the little hats.
That's exactly
now you listen to me for a second. Don't start on me. Just listen to me. Here's how we're tying this together. They control the fuel supply.
Yep, and the DEF fluid.
They control the DEF fluid. They control every aspect of this. It's like when Ford, you know, was manufacturing a dual fuel Model T. Now listen to me real closely. It would run on gasoline or it would run on ethanol, like whiskey, 100%, 100 proof. There was a little valve you switch, go from gasoline to ethanol. Well, Ford thought that's a great idea. Well, Rockefeller, who's lined up with the Rothschild banking cartels who want to control all aspects of motor vehicle as far as fuel, basically came in and pushed for prohibition, because people would go out and take their Model Ts out into the country and they would run out of fuel and they would stop at the local farm who had a still and they would pour ethanol into the fuel tank and it ran perfect. And they loved it. Rockefeller wanted no part of that. He's the one who pushed for prohibition to stop all the farmers from producing alcohol, so it would make it illegal for them to sell the alcohol and make it illegal for them to have a family still to manufacture their own whiskey. You think, well, that's a good thing. No, it's not. You don't have a right to do that. He did it on purpose to destroy the ability of Ford's Model T Fords to get alcohol when they were out in the countryside so he could put a monopoly on fuel. Why do you think they broke up the trust with Standard Oil? That's why they did it, because they controlled everything from the ground, from production to the pipelines to everything they controlled, because they wanted to have complete monopoly to control it. And he was so intertwined with Rothschild, they couldn't separate the businesses. They were so intertwined. It was crazy what happened. So this same group still wants to control everything, including the DPF that you've got to buy for $12 a gallon or whatever that crap costs now that I have to put in my truck, because it goes into a regen. If you run out of this stuff, you go into what's called limp mode. Now you're trying to get back to the dealership at 20 miles an hour.
No, it will. We had one that we almost had the lemon law. It went into DEF failure without going, and there was no, it wasn't empty.
It was full of DEF.
It had 800 miles on the truck. 800 miles.
Sat in a shop for 90 days, back and forth.
Trying to get parts for it. All new, entire new emission system had to be put on the truck. Whole system.
Brand new truck. And then
I got it back. It failed again at 1,400 miles. Then had to get towed back in. They had to put rollers on the tires because you couldn't even get the truck to move. I'm talking dead. It had to drag it out of my driveway on rollers to get on the truck. The second time I went back, I said, this truck won't come back. It's yours. We're either lemon law on this or you guys replace. I'm not going to put dealers or names or brands or anything out there, so I'm not trying to get an issue.
They did. Right, they gave us another for the same price.
They swapped it out. It's just, okay, done.
They said, we don't want a lemon law because they don't want the lemon law on their record for GM.
Oh, yeah.
A lemon law is a big deal to a manufacturer.
Well, it's because especially in aggregate, they build up. And when they start building up and it happens repeatedly, all of a sudden, all basically, you know, J.D. Powers, all those places start really
flagging. Well, this is what happened with Mercedes. Mercedes built a G-Wagon, a lifted 4x4 square.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful truck.
With the new body.
80% approximately, a whole bunch of them got lemon lawed.
It was stupid stuff that was getting lemon lawed, but they couldn't fix it. They'd replace it, and it would break again, and it would break again, and it would break again. Then they lemon lawed them, and now it's like there's all these trucks.
And now Mercedes is ranked number 30th as far as reliability. It's like the worst brand out there. And now, don't be wrong, the G-Wagon is one of the coolest vehicles I've ever seen. I love the way they sound and everything else. But the reality is they've got a terrible rating now because of all the lemon laws. So the dealers and the manufacturers don't want lemon laws, especially the state of Florida. Three strikes, you're out. Boom. Truck gets lemon lawed, car gets lemon lawed, and they hate it. That's why with motorhomes, they're so careful to try to fix them within the first three times in the state of Florida within the first couple of years, because they don't want to get them lemon lawed.
Yeah.
Very important.
But no, so this is good with this. Hopefully it continues to expand. I'm going to continue to watch as far as how this goes now with this new mandate that he's putting in, because, like I said, this whole aspect, the DEF fluid has been one of the biggest scams in diesel history. The amount of money it cost.
Urea.
Buying the urea fluid, the generational revenue that it's made for all of big oil. I mean, nobody else has made any money off of it. It was big oil and basically these other corporations that lobbied EPA to pass this. And they already had all the patents in place ready to own it all. So now a DPF system that costs these manufacturers like $200 to $300 to produce, they are mandated, GM's mandated to put on the truck because of EPA. They charged, you know, GM $5,000-$6,000 for the part. Then GM charged everybody $7,000-$8,000 for the part when they replace it. It's been one of the reasons why the diesel truck prices have gone through the roof over the last 10 years. It happened in 2008. It's done nothing but gone downhill since then. Because when they first came out, everybody just said, okay, cool story. We're just going to delete them. And nobody really knew anything about it. They were like, the trucks are running like crap. They're getting horrible fuel mileage. They're shooting flames out the back because they're basically catching on fire every couple of miles in regen. So just delete them. And then after people kept doing it, EPA's like, listen, peasants, if you modify your truck that you personally own, that's in your name, that you pay insurance on, and you make it run better,
and get 3 times the fuel mileage and make it run cleaner, it's a felony now. Once they did that, the whole world changed with DPF systems.
So they started going to shops and arresting people. And I remember, I'm going to say something to you. The Little Hat people run this. The Little Hat people also run the American Medical Association.
Exactly right.
They also run the American Psychiatric Association. They also run the American Pediatric Association. They also run the American Academy of Sciences. And they also run the attorneys, the bar members and all the rest of this stuff, because they're all tied together with this stuff because they maximize profits. Remember, when you have an individual, all they care about is profit, profit, greed, greed, greed. That's all they care about. That's all they care about. And they don't care about how they treat people. They don't care if they bankrupt you, bankrupt anybody. They don't care. It's we're going to get what we can. We're going to extract everything from you. And then they go for punitive damages in these lawsuits, which cannot be bankrupted. And then the person has their wages garnished for the rest of their life. For what? Because the Little Hat people deemed it so, from a Little Hat judge. And you think to yourself, what is this? What is going on with this? And that's the problem that we run into when we have a group of people that basically come in and control the entire country. And the sad part about it is it's not going to get any better than that. They did the same thing with the Federal Reserve Act. They tried to assassinate Andrew Jackson. They assassinated Abraham Lincoln. They did the same thing when Andrew Jackson got rid of the Federal Reserve. They tried to kill him because they put that in 1812 to stop the War of 1812. And 20 years later, he revoked their charter. You go do the research on this. Look at all the people and all the presidents that died in the 1800s. It was unbelievable what happened. They're always in the middle of this stuff trying to destroy. Well, when you worship a snake in a tree called Ein Sof, okay, you got something wrong with you to start with. That's the Kabbalist group, right? And so they really believe that God's had a hermaphrodite tree-loving snake, right, in the universe. I mean, you think, Ted, do you believe? No, I don't believe any of this stuff. I'm telling you what they believe. I think they're all nuts, but that's what they believe. And the sad part about it is that hermaphrodite snake, which is a transgender, that's the closest expression that you could have to their gods. That's why they push the tranny agenda. They run that too. They run Hollywood. They run the media. They run everything because they want to brainwash you, brainwash me into believing they're right, we're wrong, and we're the peasants. Hey, peasant, you think you're going to get a truck that's going to get 35 miles per gallon? We're not going to give that to you. We're going to show you something. We're going to give you a truck that breaks down every 30,000 miles.
Yep.
We're going to give you a truck that overheats. We're going to give you a truck that has a frame rail pressure, fuel rail pressure of 20,000 PSI?
Oh, no. We're pushing 40,000 now in the new systems.
40,000 PSI.
You realize the ability of what that would do if it ruptured?
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
Well, the problem is no variable systems can run on that long term.
No,
pressure. You start going performance pressure on that. You're talking about like race fuel lines back in the day. Now we're talking about an average diesel truck every single day dealing with this on a daily basis, pulling things, pulling loads. And so what happens is after, again, I just had a customer.
You guys a race car who runs high rail pressure? They have to break the engine down.
Oh, yeah.
Every race.
Fuelers.
Every race, they break the engine down and rebuild it.
Those guys run insane pressure, but they're top fuelers. They're over there breaking them down every time. And so it's funny, a listener just right here, Ryan, he said, my brother-in-law truck only had 25,000 miles on it, already had DPF issues going into limp mode. If I haven't heard that story, including my own life, and this is why a lot of the old diesel trucks now have gone bonkers.
7.3 Fords, great engine.
And why I had a friend of mine, he had the Cat Eye Duramax, 2006, the last year before they put the DPFs on it, the 2006 Cat Eye. He had 250,000 miles on the truck. It was in good shape. Sold it the other day. He's had a nice little lift on it. Sold it for $32,000. 2006 Duramax with 250,000 miles on it just went over for $30,000. Should be thinking on it.
Was it as long?
You go buy a Super Duty now, at 2 or 3 years old out of warranty. They're like $45,000-$50,000 wholesale. Now they'll try to tell you. We're giving you a deal at $70,000 on it. And I've watched this now. The same thing with the Duramaxes. Once they're out of warranty now, the dealers don't put any money in them. They can't warranty them. They don't do it. And they're lying to everybody saying, no, we're only putting 50 in yours because we're not going to make any money. And then you'll find the truck online. They'll have it listed for 69.
Well, the problem is they got a lot of times, if they can't put an extended warranty on it, they're scared of it.
Honestly. No, that's exactly right now.
Oh, by the way, how quickly you can take a step may predict how long you'll live, study finds. I found this interesting. It said, for younger people and those without movement disorders, it's a simple process that doesn't elicit a second thought. But as some people age, not me and not you, because we're not signing for this, the amount of time it takes to put one foot in front of the other could be a vital clue in measuring lifespan or risk of death. Research in Israel, Little Hat Country, sought to understand how balance, posture, and muscle movement were associated with survival rates in older adults over the course of nearly two decades. They found that for every 100 milliseconds or 0.1 seconds it took participants to initiate a voluntary step while they were distracted, their risk of death increased by 30% during the follow-up period. That's a big deal. That's a significant study if it's accurate. Now, while exact numbers are based on a person's height, fitness level, and general walking speed, initiating one step usually takes between 600 to 700 milliseconds. Running or sprinting cuts time down about 300 to 400 milliseconds. The researchers believe the finding shows slower steps may be an indication of what? Overall neurological and physiological resilience and aging, which signals the brain and body's ability to adapt to stress. Poor balance, for instance, can increase the risk of experiencing a fall. Happens all the time with older people, which in older adults leads to broken bones, muscle wasting, and traumatic brain injuries. Seen that personally with a traumatic brain injury with somebody falling. The study authors noted that conducting similar experiences may help improve long-term things. What they're saying is the longer it takes you to get up and take the first step and put your foot in front of the other foot, it kind of determines your age, your biological age. You know, I know that when I'm walking around the other day, I was at Bach Tower with a bunch of friends. A giant Masonic monument that really kind of awful over there. I mean, it's beautiful.
You promote it then. I mean, it's cool.
Well, I'm trying to tell people not to go, but I went.
But you went.
Yeah, I got
it. It's like when you went to downtown Disney.
You're like,
I don't know why they frisked me and tell me I can't carry a firearm. I'm like,
They did frisk me. They ran me through a body scanner.
They frisked me. They tried to tell me I couldn't carry a firearm anymore.
Did they pat you down? They didn't do that.
No, they told me that I had to put my firearm. They didn't. No, did they? Chris?
No, they wouldn't have touched
me. No, not private property, buddy.
No way.
No, you're right. No. They didn't frisk me. But I was honest, though.
I was out pacing everybody walking around. Why are you walking so fast? This is just how I walk. You walk like you're 20 years old. I feel like I'm 20 years old.
You walk like you're in a hurry all the time.
I do. It's great. But I do too.
I'm not gonna lie.
I got things to do, places to go.
I have things to do.
You know, but the thing about it is, a lot of people also can't do that when they get past the age of 50. They get real slow. There used to be a TV show, right? And Tim Allen did the show. You know, he had all these comedian things he used to do, and he used to have the little old man. He always played the little old man, and he always had these little baby steps, like this little shuffle steps, right? And everybody used to laugh until finally, you know, Tim Allen really started walking like that.
Yeah.
You know, he got older and older, and you start realizing when you see these old men, they can't go up the stairs, they can't pick their legs up, they can't do this, they can't do that, they're in walkers, they're in wheelchairs. A lot of it has to do with stretching.
Yeah.
And muscle retention. You've got to take creatine, guys. Here comes my 10-second commercial. If you want to have wrinkles, if you want to have saggy skin, if you want to take your little baby steps, if you want to be really sick all the time and look absolutely horrible and make look 20 years older than you, don't take this.
Well, that's spot on.
This product's unbelievable.
But that does, too, not only repair healing, it creates and maintains ligament and joint elasticity in the tendons.
It does.
When you stop stretching and you start lacking collagen, the tendons and ligaments stop becoming elastic. I mean, they start getting real brittle,
like rope.
Rubber bands.
Well, they're not rubber bands anymore.
They're not rubber bands. That's true. Like a zip tie. And they get tighter and tighter, and they don't move. It's a zip tie. Except with rubber bands.
You've got to stretch that stuff out.
And the only way to keep it stretched and maintain health is collagen. There's no other question about it.
And vitamin C.
Well, vitamin C and collagen go hand in hand.
Well, they work together as a team. You're running a 400-meter relay, and everybody's running 100 meters. You got a baton. You got to hand it to each other.
Yeah.
You know, one person drops the baton, the whole thing stops. You're out. Same thing with this. You've got to have vitamin C. You've got to have collagen. You've got to have both of them if you want to maintain skin elasticity, period.
Because here's the problem. When you start getting real stoved up, and you can't walk properly, and then what's happened, you start driving slow. And then I've got to contend with you in front of me doing 20 in a 45. And then I got to deal with you not flipping your blinker on because you don't see anybody else around you because your eyesight's not good because you're not taking eyesight. And then I got to honk my horn at you because you're stopped in the middle of the road with no blinker, not moving with no traffic. And then you get mad and you flip me off. And I didn't even do anything. I'm just trying to drive freely, unmolested on my way. So let's avoid that whole scenario and just take your vitamin C, eyesight, and collagen, and we're all going to have a happy day. Thank you. That just had to happen the other day.
You know, that would be a really good 45-second spot for Michael Barrett to put out there.
It is true.
It would make all the people over the age of 50 unbelievably mad at you.
That's fine. You can be mad at me. Just don't drive like that.
You know, it's so funny.
I've noticed this massive trend in Auburndale now. No blinkers and 15 under the speed limit.
Everywhere. Well, you know why they're pulling people everywhere in Auburndale.
Well, not
now.
Just that; it's because we're getting this giant mixing pot of morons from these other Democrats.
Auburndale has 52 police officers. When I was a kid, there was like three. They've got to pay the salaries, Austin.
Oh, I didn't tell you. Well, no, I'll tell you off air. This has something to do with the other department that I'm dealing with right now.
Oh.
The one that put the dog on speed cameras up illegally. I talked to law enforcement in the barbershop the other day about that. They have multiple law enforcement that are getting attorneys to fight Lake Alfred on this because Lake Alfred is directly violating Florida state law with those speed cameras now. And they are called out on it.
I got a ticket on it.
No, he said they're supposed to be on for an hour and a half.
That's it.
Directly when school's in session from like 7:30 to like 8:30 or 9, whatever it is.
I have never seen a bigger group of weirdos than I have in the city of Lake Alfred and the most poorly run city I've ever seen. They're always bankrupt.
The only revenue they generate, the city's split. It doesn't do anything. The only generated revenue is through tickets
and property
taxes.
That's
it. The property tax, they said everybody's selling their houses. Everybody's moving out because it turned into such a defunct city, such a defunct town. So you said there's tons of houses that are unsold over there. Now you look online on Zillow, it's all these houses for sale, vacant. It's gone. Nobody wants them anymore. Well, maybe there's a reason why. It's like Lake Alfred's turned into Detroit.
I told the lady when I complained about the red light ticket for the school zone that I was doing it at 12 o'clock when nobody was outside.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, this is why everybody hates Lake Alfred.
Well, and by the way, just understand this. So the speed limit's like 35.
Mm-hmm.
They've got this segment of area that's barely marked.
Quarter mile.
With a camera. Quarter mile, it goes from 35 to 15. And then back to 35. Well, it's a school zone. So during the school hours of like 7:30 to 9, it goes to 15, and it's supposed to go from like 3:30 to 5. That's how the law was written. Oh, no. They got the cameras on from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. all day, every day. It doesn't even matter if it's a holiday. So if you don't drop from 35 to 15 in a quarter-mile stretch, they immediately give you a doggone camera ticket.
I got one.
And he said the exact thing.
And I was doing the speed limit. I wasn't even afraid.
Auburndale police chief said the exact same thing. He said they made it unbelievably difficult to go through these hoops to fight it. And he goes, I told him, so just...
They wanted me to give a list of everybody who could...
No,
they didn't have me behind the...
You know what he said? Huh? He said, Fifth Amendment on everything. I want a jury trial. Straight to jury trial. I demand a speedy trial. Nothing. I am not guilty. I know nothing. Fifth Amendment, jury trial. You want to prove I did it? Prove I did it in a jury trial. He goes, they've already had two cases of that. The jury unanimously every time dismisses it. Every time. They're like, God, it's suck over there. Dismissed. He said if everybody starts fighting it, they're going to have it thrown out almost immediately next year because it's unconstitutional. I had a whole conversation about this the other day at the barbershop.
Oh, by the way, speaking of conversations, college students are now testing at the level of 10-year-olds.
That sounds about right. AI. They don't know anything.
Well, AI, anymore. I mean, these are 18-year-olds.
Well, no, you got to remember, bud, we're dealing with college students now who have been using AI for the last 5 to 6 years.
We can't write
papers.
Yeah.
To do research. They don't even... Most kids, if you ask them right now in college, actually how to do a true like bibliography and how to do a reference page and do all these different things on it, they can't. All they know is pick up their phone and go, write me a 15-page paper with 15 references discussing elephants in Africa. And AI writes it. And then they go in and tweak it a little bit, and then they submit it. They have no idea how to research. I've seen this person now. They have no idea how to research anything. They don't know. So 18-year-olds in college now, yeah, that's about right. About 10, 12-year-olds.
I've got this. I found this the other day. I was 8 years old writing a diary. It lasted about a week. But I'm eight.
And, does your papers from when you're eight?
Yeah. I'm writing in full cursive.
Can you read your handwriting?
Yeah, you see it. I mean, it's 8 years old. It's Saturday, February 26th, like, 1960, whatever, right? It says...
Golly,
I wrote full cursive. I went to the rifle range today. Went up to McDonald's. Had a hamburger. We saw dad's. Had a bath tonight. School home tonight. Mom's mad at me again. She's yelling again.
So it says.
So I had a Social Security. I had a test in school today. Did very well. Writing. Played with Johnny next door. Came home. Yelled at Lois, my sister, Lois got fired from the library.
What?
No, I'm eight. I'm writing a full cursive and full sentences here.
Yeah, I mean those are pretty definitive thoughts, too.
No, it was funny. And the funny part
went to the rifle range.
Yeah.
You must go with your dad.
I have no idea. I can't remember any of this stuff. I don't remember. I remember piddling around with this thing. I only wrote it a couple times.
1962?
Oh, yeah. Remember, when I was 8, 9 years old, I was reading at 350 words a minute with 100% comprehension. I was in like fifth grade, right? Like 8, 9, 10 years old, I guess I was. And I maxed out the reading charts. I went through everything. They had like a reading thing we had to go through.
We've always been a super fast reader. Yeah, but the problem is, think about it.
But I'm not. When I was 10 years old, I was operating at collegiate level.
Well, yeah, this. That's you. But think about this though. The younger generation. Think about if you never had the ability to even get exposed to able to read like that, and they automatically start showing you how to use ChatGPT at 6, 7 years old.
You know how I learned to read so fast? It was comic books.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. I loved Iron Man. I loved Captain America.
Well, you know why? Because you're intrigued. You want to understand what's happening and you want to get to the next page.
Yeah.
So you're analyzing it. You're understanding it. You're thinking. You're visually stimulated. But
now the comic books are gay.
Oh, comic books.
Gay.
Real comic books don't exist anymore either. Like that's why the old ones now
are worth so much money.
Oh, insane. Insane amounts of money now. Now, I want to cover an article here on health before we burn the clock down on here.
But let me cover this real quick. Gone are the days of university freshmen reading classical philosophers like Plato, yes. Right? Unbelievable. You know, if they can get through Judy Blume's Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, they can get through that. According to a new survey of adult skills conducted by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, a form of 38 high-income, predominantly Western countries, not a significant number of adult students enrolled in higher education are now reading, doing math at a basically 10-year-old level. I mean, stop for a second. I mean, okay, here's the problem with all of this stuff. If they can't read, and they're basically in college, they're operating if they were 10 years of age, how are they possibly going to run a corporation?
They're not. Pick me. They're not. They need to do their goy slop, work their goy job, and be good little peasants and get their subsidies from their government and live and be happy with nothing. How do you get a generation like America that is so self-sufficient, so aggressive, so entrepreneur-driven, so based on having goals, and you make them so stupid, dumbed down and infertile that they actually own nothing and they love it? How do you do that? You have to beat down each generation by making them realize or think that knowing things, being smart, being articulate, being goal-driven are all horrific things. They're, you know, misogynistic. You want to be a successful male? Well, you're a misogynist pig. Well, I just want to be successful. I want to try to have a nice truck. Peasant. Goy slop for you. Go home. You can't do anything.
Well, what you do, 30, 40 years, you start injecting it with 76 vaccines. That's how you do it. You dumb them down with mercury. You dumb them down with aluminum. You dumb them down with adjuvants.
I wouldn't say that, but that's pretty much one of the biggest nails on the head.
Yeah, with Dr. Mendelsohn, The Confessions of a Medical Heretic. Read that book, okay? And How to Have a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician, which he was one. Read that book. These books are 40 years old. They tell you the truth. He tells you what's going to happen. He was dead on.
Ruin their physiology. Mm-hmm. Scramble their psychology.
There you go.
That's how they do it.
That's how they do it.
2 points. Physiology, psychology. Meaning physiology, you ruin it. You put so many toxins, so many injections, so much toxic sludge. You tell them that GMO goy slop cereal and homogenized milk's healthy for them. You tell them that eggs are bad from a very young age. You teach them communism is good, that transgender is amazing, that you can be anything you want other than successful. And then you sit there and you continually put the bad food, the bad idea from basically 3 or 4 years old until college. And now you look what you have now. That's the point, isn't it?
Funny story.
True story or funny story?
This is a funny story.
Okay.
Brooklyn Bridge caught on fire because of fireworks this weekend. I mean, it's huge, but it took 2 fire trucks. We used to see the whole thing in blaze.
Why did they were shooting fireworks off?
I don't know. I think so. I don't know. But boy, I tell you what.
Shooting underneath it?
I mean, it's lit up, boy. They lit that sucker up, boy, those fireworks. They put it out. It looks like they were lighting from the Brooklyn Bridge, and it caught on fire, which reminds me. When you and Chase decide to have fireworks on my dock at the lake, right? My dock's, you know, so we're out there at the dock. We had all these fireworks going off. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, my neighbor comes over pounding on the door. Your dock's on fire.
Well, do yourselves a favor. If you're shooting fireworks, you're shooting big mortars, you know, 500 grammers, and you got cakes and all that other stuff. Douse them with water and get done with them.
No, we had to do it. These are 6x6 pylons, and it got inside of the pylon. I had to turn the sprinklers on and put a water hose to it because we need water down at the lake. And I had to let the sprinklers run all night with the water hose off the pump so it wouldn't start back up again because it was inside. It was like deep inside of the 6x6. finally, I got sick of looking at it at the burnt pylon. I tore them all down anyhow, and you just rebuilt the docket out there to start with. But so be careful with fireworks. They will burn things. They are hot, by the way.
I do not recall.
You don't recall? I deny everything.
I deny,
and know nothing.
Allegedly. All right, that's the story I want to cover
Sergeant
here.
Schultz.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
Depression may be caused by inflammation.
Oh,
new
wow.
research points towards a biologically distinct subtype of depression and a common blood test that can identify it. This is becoming more and more of a problem with depression. We're noticing this, and I told you guys it's multifaceted. One of the biggest problems is gut-brain axis and the inflammation that it causes when it's disrupted. The gut and the brain talk, not through direct nerves, but through basically scalar waves. Yeah, that's why the gut microbe, the probiotic, the good, healthy gut bacteria, it actually has energy that ties in with the brain, and it talks to one another. That's why the brain doesn't produce serotonin and dopamine. The gut does. This is why when the gut basically starts having all these health issues, it triggers things to be produced. If it doesn't trigger, it never goes off. It's kind of like the body, looking at it from a firearm standpoint, the gut's the firing pin. It determines whether or not everything is going to go right and could detonate correctly and fire off, or it's not. If the firing pin doesn't want to work, your gun's inert. You can have the coolest setup, the best optic, the beautiful glass piece on top, the longest barrel, cold hammer forge, everything's top tier. And you take that firing pin and you missize it, or you take it out completely, the gun's a baseball bat, right? That's how the body works.
It's a club.
The gut is the firing pin. You screw up the firing pin, everything else goes into chaos. And they're going into research here talking about how this new trial provides evidence again for people with depression who have raised inflammation targeting the immune system may improve symptoms. So they suggest the problem is basically looking at the gut, the inflammation theory. People with depression share the same sets of symptoms: utterly drained, thinking and moving slowly, sleeping more, losing interest in things they once enjoyed. Closely assembles what science has called sickness behavior, the body's way of conserving energy while fighting infection. Biological evidence is beginning to accumulate. Studies after study repeatedly find that people with elevated C-reactive protein, a blood marker of inflammation, were almost always higher risk of developing depression, invariably. They said, we're seeing a lot of data support that inflammation plays a significant role in depression. People living with chronic inflammatory conditions such as arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, as well as people recovering from serious infections are almost inadvertently always likely to develop depression more often. This is why...
Boy, we've seen that personally, haven't we? With gut problems.
The more I've researched it, the more I realize it's not a joke. Gut problems, long-term, just what you talked about earlier, with stress and cortisol. You can have a gut problem, right? Your gut can get messed up. You can go on antibiotics if you had to, and your body recovers. You take, you know, Probiotic 350 billion. You get through it. When you start allowing chronic, long-term gut inflammation to occur long-term, it invariably always starts to have brain issues on a long enough scale because everything starts getting inflamed. This is why it's important to keep bowel movements regularly, important to keep proper hydration, and it is so important. I cannot reiterate this anymore. I say it all the time. Stay away from high ultra-processed foods, especially ones that you know to contaminate with glyphosate, which is like all of them. Because what happens is glyphosate causes so much gut inflammation, so much. You don't even understand it. I've put photos up on here. We did the study with the rats, the pigs. The pigs were given basically 2 months straight of GMO Roundup-resistant ready corn, straight-up Roundup-ready corn. Within 8 weeks, their guts were rotted. They fed them nothing but that, basically force-fed them the stuff, and it rotted their guts. That's okay, guys, that's hogs. That's pigs. They can eat anything.
And the sad part about our DNA is kind of close to those dogs.
There you go. It is.
It's bad.
And so you think about it. What it's doing to hogs when they're eating this Roundup-resistant corn is kind of similar to what's happening to humans, isn't it? Chronic issues, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, leaky gut syndrome.
Ulcers.
Ulcers. Mm-hmm. They're all becoming regular. So, again, I tell you guys this, just giving you a heads up, C-reactive protein test might be a good idea when you're getting your blood work done, just as another click on the box to see how it's running on.
You know, I had a friend of mine here recently. They were having three jobs, finishing college and doing a bunch of other stuff, and they ended up with a gut lesion.
Yeah.
And they put them on I mentioned this last week, they put them on a childhood anti arthritis drug, rheumatoid arthritis, and it caused things like cancer and or leukemia. And I mean, this was unbelievable. One of the worst drug interactions I've ever seen. And I thought to myself, how many people end up with gut problems? And they start doing all the stuff, H. pylori and all the rest of the stuff. They start on all these antibiotics. They destroy all their intestinal flora. And suddenly, they don't have flora. They have no, suddenly, they basically have all these depression issues and health issues. Right now, there's about 4,800 approved drugs right now in the world, in America, et cetera. And there's about 1.3 million drug interactions listed. Good now, think God. About that. Think about that. How big that is.
And those are the ones that are on the books that they disclose. Think about all the different drugs that we've seen people take.
And one database says that there's over 95,000 common adverse events. So, you know, if you got a drug that says you take this drug, there's a real high probability you're coming out with leukemia and you're going to die in a couple of years. But, you know, and you're going to gain a bunch of weight. You're going to get super fat. And but by the way, you have all the alcohol you want to drink. And you got, wait a minute, I got an ulcer, so you want to drink.
It'll lower my immune system.
Lower my immune system. Yeah. Give myself leukemia, and it says it rots out the bones, so you better take calcium.
Well, better that.
I mean, unbelievable.
Then the doctor puts you on another drug because you're having another problem from those side effects, and the side effects of that drug are lowers immune system.
Oh, my
God.
Now
you're lowering your immune system while you're taking a drug that invariably can cause cancer. Then you start taking another drug to help out with your energy because you feel so bad from the inflammation that's going on in your gut now that's not getting fixed. There's a reason why you got the ulcer. Was it because you basically were drinking too much cabbage juice?
I'm going to say something too. I'm not going to meddle too much this morning because we don't have any time left. But if you're in a situation where you're under a lot of stress, you need to change the situation.
Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't at the very fast point in time.
But you got to have whoever you have the stress with. You got to talk to them. You got to figure out because
sometimes you're in college and you got finals week and it's stressful all week. But then you have to calm it down after the week after that. And you got to chill out.
But if you're in a relationship that is unbelievably awful. It's killing you. Why are you doing that? I'm just asking you. I mean, if you are with the wrong person, you know, in some cases that's easy to fix. Sometimes it's not easy to fix. The reality is that the Bible says who by worrying can add a single moment to their lives. I mean, if it was really going into detail, it would say, look, if you worry, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have gut inflammation. You're going to have unbelievably problems with your gut. You're going to start having, you know, all kinds of things with ulcers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're probably going to die really young. And so you probably don't want to worry about stuff and just fix the worrying. That's why when you keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, the worrying goes away. People are always asking me, aren't you scared about the world? I'm like, no, I'm a pilot. Well, aren't you scared? No, I really don't get scared. You don't have to act like that. You don't have to get all worked up over stuff that doesn't mean anything. Ask yourself the simple question, will it really matter in 20 years from now? Ask yourself that every time you start to stress out over something.
Dude, ask yourself, it's going to matter in 5 days.
No, don't even do that.
No, I'm serious. There's times I've been around people. They're stressed the heck out about something that I'm like, dude, is it even going to matter in 5 days? Is it really that big of a deal? Be cautious. And I've gotten very strict about this. This is me personally. Be very cautious in who you give your energy to.
There you go.
I'm being serious right now. I've noticed more and more as I get older and I get more discerning, you get around certain people and they feel like you feel like your battery gets flipped upside down. You feel like your battery's you're 80-90%. You just as you the longer you're around, the faster your battery goes down. Guys, it's okay to not associate with somebody that lives like that on a regular basis. It's okay to not want to be around people that drain your battery. Don't feel like you're obligated to be around somebody all the time when they're constantly pulling you down and speaking negative thoughts, speaking negative actions, speaking negative life confessions, and all you do is feel like, my gosh, I need a bath after I'm around them for 20 minutes. If you're dating somebody like that, you're married to somebody like that, you really need to communicate with them on where you're going to go from there. Because like he said, it's not sustainable. I've watched so many people in relationships where one person, it's girlfriend or the boyfriend, man or wife, and one of them just starts getting down. And now, if you're married, it's your spouse's job at that point to try to say, hey, listen, keep your head up. You got this. This is stress. This will end soon. But before it does, there's a lot of stuff that's got to get done. You can handle it. It's okay. But if you start being around somebody and the other person just keeps dragging you down and dragging you down and dragging you down and dragging you down and dragging you down, and then they keep making more and more and more bad decisions, they keep dragging everybody down, sometimes you have to step away and create some gap or distance between them. Decide, is that the life you want to continue to carry on with?
Dale Carnegie wrote a book that somebody gave me years ago. It was called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living.
There you go.
And I'm going to post link to this book. It's a fantastic book. And it says that research shows that 40% of the things you worry about never happen. 30% of these things we worry about have already happened. And actually, about 8% of what we worry may actually happen. And most of the time, it's 99% of the time things you worry about don't happen. So, I mean, so the reality is that you're sitting around worried about something. That, you know, it's like my friend who wants to get both of her breasts taken off, who's in her 60s, for no reason whatsoever, except she read something in a book about it. And she's been having all kinds of health problems to start with. She took the COVID shot, and she's got over pneumonia, and now she wants to go in and have a double mastectomy for no reason whatsoever. She has no breast cancer. She's worried. You know, most women in their 60s are going to get breast cancer anyhow. Just to give you a newsflash, it's a hormonal thing in many cases, also aluminum fluorhydrate deodorants. Be very, very careful of what you want to worry about. Some people also have to fret. It doesn't matter what the day is, they've got to find something negative to say.
They have to also find a conflict.
Well, no.
They got to manufacture something out of nowhere just to start a fight.
Ziegler said it this way. They're the kind of people that brighten up a room.
Correct.
When they leave it.
Yes. They leave and everybody goes, oh, thank God they're gone. Gosh, you know how bad a reputation you want to have?
Well, yeah, then those same people, when they die, they're on their deathbed and they're laying there and their last words they utter are, oh, thank God it's over. What kind of awful life was that? Is that how you want your last words out of your mouth? Like, God, it's over? God didn't give you a life like that. You know it's true. I see it. I'm like, that's horrible. But remember, when you keep your hearts and minds in Christ, you have to live like this.
Straight change gears real quick. Rick put on here, melatonin and gut microbes share a powerful two-way relationship.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Melatonin disruptors are synthetic chemicals and everyday environmental toxins that interfere with the body's natural production, regulation, cell reception of melatonin, and other hormones. Melatonin is a huge one because it helps with sleep. All these drugs, all these bisphenol A talks about it right here, these phthalates. Why do you think they're coming out, guys, with two brand new PFAS pesticide herbicides?
More Teflon, more fluoride.
Forever chemicals that we know are directly linked to cancer and a whole host of other problems.
Because we're not dumb enough yet in the United States. You got to dumb us down more.
Well, I guess the goy slop isn't goy enough yet. Ooh, guess not.
Can you say goy slop?
I just did, and I will.
Will YouTube let you do that?
Not just yet. I don't know. We'll find out. But so, guys, be aware of it. Know what you put in your body has effects. Because remember, a lot of times people go on these antidepressants. And
there you
it's
go.
Not because they have deficiency in Paxil.
They have black box warnings. They cause suicide.
Yeah, I'm not saying those drugs can never be used for something. Because quite frankly, they might have a role that they do work on something that has a true chemical imbalance. That does happen. However, they are one of the most overprescribed drugs with some of the most severe side effects known to man. Because a lot of times you're treating a symptom, not a problem. You know, that's what they do with a lot of customers, or not all customers, yeah, doctors, customers.
Oh, Governor DeSantis heard us about running pedophiles through a wood chipper.
Did he?
He's now is calling to the Supreme Court to execute child rapists under the age of 12 in the state of Florida.
Excellent.
I got to say,
death penalty on that.
Okay, death penalty on children who get raped under the age of 12. DeSantis has taken it to the Supreme Court. He said Florida Governor DeSantis is fully committed to executing child rapists and has vowed to take the fight all the way to the Supreme Court. It's a shame he couldn't have done that with Jeffrey Epstein.
Well, what you do is it shuts down the industry because the problem is that people realize these sicko pervert pedophiles that don't deserve anything other than the millstone around their neck in the water. Once they realize that a lot of these states. I mean, California. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times these guys, they're convicted. I mean, they're convicted of multiple child rapes. They get like 1 year, 2 years house arrest. Perfect example, Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. 13 months house arrest. Basically, he's driven around in his private limo with a bed in it. I mean, it's just sick stuff. One last story I want to cover on here. Oh, actually, we're clocked out. I burned the clock down on here.
We got 1 minute.
I was just talking about microplastics. PFAS is another
thing. It builds up in the brain, by the way. Bottled water, plastic bottled water is a no-go.
Single pouch of Gerber baby food they tested has around 5,000 microplastic particles, which I think that's about 5 ppm. The problem with this is, this is not a one-time thing in most cases. Kids eat this. They eat it their entire upbringing and life. And these PFASs, these plastic particles, they build up in the body. They don't go away. And they continue to build up and they cause what's called endocrine disruption, which is problems with hormone balance and also disrupts problems like with melatonin production. So, my friends, look at this stuff before you start feeding your kids. I'll go into more detail on the show tomorrow on here. Be sure right now, if you want to check it out, there's like 10 hours left on the sale. You can see the clock at the top of the site on here. It's, again, 10% off orders over $250 of all non-sale items. So it's got to be non-sale items that basically...
No kits are included.
No kits are added to it. No kits contribute to it. So thank you guys again. If you want to grab it, it's on sale. Or you just buy kits. Most of the kits are already bigger discount anyways. So thank you for the support. Check out the bestsellers as well in the future. Thank you for leaving us reviews on here. The Magnesium Brain Food, the Ultimate Powder. These things are getting loaded up with reviews, positive reviews. Have a blessed day, awesome night, my friends. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for all the YouTube comments. It blew up the day again, as always. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow, as always.
Love you. Thanks for your support. And keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Thanks for praying for us.